Well, big questions will be asked after this story you're about to hear this morning as to why the public has not been made better aware of a scam in Northern Ireland. It involves a single mother who has been left devastated. Amanda Jackson, who is from County Down, has had over £70,000 stolen from her. How it happened is astonishing. It could happen to many of us. You need to listen to Amanda as she's told me how her story unfolded.
Well, basically, I've been purchasing a house. This is the third house I've tried to purchase. And I had sold my marital home to have a fresh start. And that was the only reason why I had so much money in my bank account. It was the equity from that. Due to complaint, solicitor emailed me the amount that I had to send her. Then I emailed back just requesting confirmation of the bank details. Reception emailed me back the bank details on the Thursday morning at 10:30, and at 4:30 I received another email saying exactly the same details in the body of the email, saying, "Sorry Amanda, sent the wrong bank details, apologies, and please find below the details." And I just sent them to the wrong bank detail. The second email was a bogus email.
Okay, so let me just sum that up in my head to make sure you've got this right. So you're dealing with a solicitor.
Yeah.
As we all have done, if we've bought a house, sold a house, the solicitor says, look, today's the day you need to send the money. Here's the sort code. Here's the account number.
Yeah.
Just before you go to send the money, you get a second email,
yeah,
which is very, very similar, nearly identical, to that of the first email from the solicitor. And that basically says, look, we've changed our bank details. Here's the new sort code. Here's the new account number.
Yeah.
And you send £76,959.
Yeah.
Except someone had hacked in to the solicitor's email account and had managed to gain all that information. And then these fraudsters wrote to you pretending to be your solicitor and changed the bank details.
Yeah. I mean, they seemed to be watching, apparently. I wasn't aware of this, but apparently it's been happening in England, and they're able to watch for bank details being, you know, sent, and that's what alerts them then to the fact that money is going to be sent.
So they've actually been able to infiltrate the IT system of your solicitor?
Well, I don't have any evidence of that, but certainly the email that came was from the junior officer in the reception. Because of the way internet and email and Yahoo do, it went into my thread, so it didn't even come into my email like a new email, because it said reception at the top of it. So, you know, I wasn't alerted even by it being a fresh email. And that's why I really want people to know, because we've gone so IT that we're actually in a very difficult position now.
When did you find out something was wrong?
Well, not to Monday. I sent the money on Friday morning.
And what happened?
Awful. Just awful.
Well, who rang you on Monday, or what happened?
Well, no, I got an email first thing on Monday morning from my solicitor saying, "Amanda, we haven't received your money." I emailed back saying, "That's very strange, because it was a transfer and I've sent it to Barclays," which was the bank in the second email. And I didn't have any correspondence then back from my solicitors, which is also the disappointing thing. I was in work, very busy, you can imagine. Came out at 4:30, rang, was asked to ring back in 10 minutes, did that. When I rang back in 10 minutes, they said I was obviously almost hysterical by this stage, because my brain was going over and over. And I said, "Look, I've sent this to your Barclays account," and the receptionist just said, "We don't have a Barclays account." And then the cogs kicked in, and you can imagine I've just been really sick ever since.
So you've lost £77,000?
Basically, yeah. And I mean, the upsetting thing for me is that I'm just helpless now. You know, I've been to the banks, I've been to the police, I've been to Miss Lister, and everybody's telling me that, you know, your money's gone. And, you know, nobody seems to be responsible, only me. And my thing is that I specifically went into the bank, Stephen. I naively thought, when I filled in the form in the bank, because it asks you for the account name, I thought that was married up with the account number and the sort code. It's certainly in a big transaction like this. The account name means nothing, apparently. So why did they ask you for it? Why did I think I was safer going into the bank? You know, that's the link that's missing. I mean, I bought a bathroom suite for £800 last week, and Halifax rang me before that transaction went through to make sure that I was buying it. I just cannot believe that I could lose this amount of money in this way.
What impact does this have on you?
I mean, my life has just fallen apart. You know, I was supposed to be having a fresh start. I'm a single parent with two young children. I was in breach of contract then from not completing, and I was going to lose the deposit that I'd put on the house. You know, my family are having to sell my parents' assets to try and give me money. It's just been a horrendous week.
No one can afford to lose £77,000.
Well, I only had that money in my bank account because I was selling my marital home, and I was out of my house because builders now ask for 10% deposit. I mean, who has 10% deposit without selling your house and moving out?
Who was your bank?
My bank was Danske Bank.
So you walked into Danske.
Yeah.
You give them the name and the sort code and account number.
Yeah.
And the name and the sort code and account number didn't match, and they sent the money anyway.
Well, they don't. That's what I didn't appreciate. They don't look up the bank name. They don't send the bank name. The bank name is, I might as well have written Scooby-Doo. The bank name doesn't matter, and I didn't know that. I mean, what upset me is when I was in, the woman said, you could have done this online. And I said, I couldn't do it online. It's too big an amount for it to go wrong. That, I actually said that.
Well, Nicola Weir, our reporter, has been looking through this story. Stay there, Amanda. Nicola, what about following the money? So the money went into a bank account. Who was the bank?
Well, the bank account details Amanda was sent was Barclays. And that transfer was made from Danske, as she said, her Danske bank account to Barclays, which is what the fraudulent email said.
So Barclays must have the name, address, identification details of the fraudsters who have scammed Amanda.
Well, you'd think that, because I did contact Barclays, and in their opening to me, they actually said Barclays can confirm that in opening and managing accounts, it complies with all regulatory requirements, including in respect of identification and verification. Well, I thought that was quite interesting, because I thought, well, you know, if you've identified and verified this account, you must know, you know, who the name on it, where they're from, whatever.
Yeah, so when I'm opening an account anywhere, particularly in a bank, which I've done quite a few times, they want photographic ID, they want proof of address, they want a secondary proof of address, so that they know exactly who you are, which is all to do with money laundering legislation, etc., etc. So how are Barclays not knowing exactly who these fraudsters are?
Well, I asked them that question, and I said, well, you know, when you set this up and you've actually said in your opening line that you identify and verify all your accounts, they actually kind of dodged that bullet a wee bit. They just more or less came back and said, we comply with all regulatory requirements. So that was basically the line that they put out again. But I think that there is another question to ask of Barclays, and I'm asking that question. You know, you must know who these people are. Now, they said that once they found out that there was inappropriate conduct on that account, they closed it. But unfortunately, the money had gone.
Bit late for you, Amanda, them closing it after your money's gone.
Oh, totally. Totally, yeah.
And have Barclays offered to help you in any way?
No, and actually, my understanding is that they weren't awfully helpful with the PSNI either, that they actually had to go and get a production order, apparently it's called, to get information on the account.
I did actually contact the police too, Stephen, and they say that they have referred the incident to What Action Fraud. That's an organisation that takes all fraud and cybercrime reports in the UK. But the PSNI have also said they are also making their own inquiries into this to assist the investigation. So they're not washing their hands of it. They are actually in there helping and trying to find out what's going on here.
This is a huge story where there are many players who are tasked to protect people like you, Amanda, who we should have questions of this morning. For example, the Law Society of Northern Ireland. Now, Amanda, what date did this happen to you?
Well, I found out about it on Monday. Monday was, what, the 5th of October.
So this happened to you at the beginning of October?
Yeah.
Right. So we have a correspondence here which shows that the Law Society were warning solicitors of a scam. Let me just read this to you. The Society has been contacted in relation to another scam currently circulating and targeting solicitor firms in Northern Ireland. Members have reported being contacted by clients who have received emails from their solicitor about probate matters. Upon investigation, it would appear that the solicitor and the firm's identity and contact details have been stolen and used by a fraudster in an elaborate scam. And then they spell out essentially what happens. The fraudster contacts a client or a person, often by email or phone, requesting personal details from them or requesting that they send money transfers or bank details. And so it goes on. Now, I notice on that it says for probate, about probate matters, you were selling your house, right?
Yeah.
But the question of the Law Society this morning is, if they were telling solicitors about this and they issued this scam alert issue on the before they have issued a general press release to the public, why did they do that?
I know. I mean, I just feel so helpless, Stephen. I don't understand how, you know, they're not putting systems in place, practical procedures in place, you know, to prevent this from happening.
Could the Law Society not have made this better known, more widely known, so that someone like you could have heard about it, Amanda? Maybe that's all you would have needed.
I don't know, Stephen. I'm just at the end of my tether.
Just saying that the Law Society put out the flurry of warnings sort of around in September, end of September time. And it's interesting that the press release that they've given out to the wider media only occurred after I'd picked up the phone to them about Amanda's case.
Yeah, so, and that's an important thing for you to know. So on Friday night, Friday afternoon, Friday night, Nicola, after the Nolan Show had been in touch, after the Nolan Show had been telling the Law Society that we were going to report your case, Amanda, to the public.
Yeah.
Guess what the Law Society do? They issue a big, bold press release to the public. New fraud targeting solicitors' clients.
It's no good to me, Steve. I mean, what does the Law Society do now?
So the questions for the Law Society, how much did they know? When did they know it? Could they have made the public aware of this before the Nolan Show got in touch? Could they have made the public aware of this in a much bigger way?
Certainly the general public needs to be aware.
Now, we have seen that they sent a tweet out on the 30th of September. Please note that this is from the Law Society. Please note that there are a number of email scams currently circulating. It's advisable to remain vigilant. Always check and recheck. So that's the tweet from the Law Society. Meanwhile, we've got detailed information here that they were sending to solicitors. I don't know. Is there detailed information that they were sending to the public? Big, big questions to ask of the Law Society this morning. Yeah. When did they know about this scam? And could they not have made the public better aware of this? What are you going to do, Amanda?
I'm hoping that somebody will be able to advise me, Stephen, because the bank, the solicitors, are all washing their hands off it. Surely there's compensation, surely there's insurance, Stephen, that for this kind of thing. I just don't know.
Nicola, I think we should go back to Barclays again.
Definitely.
And say to them, look, you know, you've said that you've complied, and I'm sure they have complied, but how does that not mean that they've got the name, address, my goodness, the photographic identification of the people who have done this?
I think the difficulty is that that's all fake.
Well, I want to ask Barclays that question. And my goodness, this is a massive warning to us all when we're sending money to online to, you know, you trust a solicitor, don't you?
I didn't even do it online, Stephen. I went into the bank.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter whether it's online or in the bank, it's gone. You know.
for that amount of money. So presumably that's it. Can you, you've lost that house you were going to buy.
Well, I just want to say thank you actually to all my friends, because everybody has just rallied round Stephen, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to get the house. I mean, I'll have to pay them all back, but if we can get this sorted in some way.
Look, this is a huge story, so we'll stay across it. Nicola will get back in touch with Barclays. Amanda, thank you for bringing us the story. Nicola, thank you.
Thank you.
03030 80 55 55, if you do want to pick up the phone. I'm just reading through more of this press release that the Law Society issued on Friday afternoon. Wonder would they have issued it if we hadn't have been asking them questions, and if we hadn't have told them we were about to publish the story. Would they have issued it on Friday afternoon? And within this, they say, clients should not make a transfer of funds if they receive an unusual email or phone request informing them that the solicitor's banking details and arrangements have changed. So that's the key detail in this story that we need to push out to every single member of the public. If you get an unusual email or phone request telling you that your solicitor's banking details have changed, for goodness sake, don't send the money until you have checked it. There's no wrongdoing, by the way, on behalf of Amanda's solicitor. No wrongdoing whatsoever. And, you know, I presumed when I was talking to her there that the solicitor's bank account or the solicitor's computer system must have been hacked. Of course, that might not be the case. It could be Amanda's email that's been hacked. It could be her computer where there's a virus. We just don't know.